Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alonzarek Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Coming up today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, we've got some oldies but goodies. Four players who are, you know, kind of old in baseball terms, but having great years, what does that mean for them in 2017? We'll talk Jose De Leon, Willie Peralta, some bullpen news, and much more. Scott White's got his yellow notepad out. He's prepared. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, pad, it's back. It wasn't here most of the year. I was back on standard notebook paper, college ruled. But now the legal pad, it's back. Mini legal pad, actually. M-I-N-I. Mini.
Mini, yeah, I thought you said many for a second there.
Yeah, it's that's why I decided to spell it out. It sounded funny.
Scott also wants to talk about a couple of very popular commercials that are out there now, and we will get to that because I want to talk about them too. But first, I got a couple of busts. The biggest bust of the week and the biggest bust of the season. The second one, they're both probably a little arguable. But here's your biggest bust of this week so far after one day. Mike Foltynewicz, 50% owned, one of the most added players in CBSSports.com leagues, gets lit up by the Marlins, 5 runs on 11 hits and 3 2/3. But hey, no walks and 6 strikeouts. That's awesome.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think fantasy owners fighting for their playoff lines there are really finding the silver lining in this start. And what makes it worse, to add in injury to insult, I guess, is he got hit hard on the calf and had to leave the game. Was able to walk off the field, but then he was on crutches later. X-rays are negative, but if the guy can't walk normally, it seems unlikely, especially with nothing to compete for, that he's going to make his second start this week. So that exciting two-star pitcher left you with just this one ugly start, which I do think, you know, like you pointed to the strikeout to walk ratio. I think he was pitching okay. Only one of the 11 hits he allowed was for extra bases, but obviously that's not much solace for anybody.
No, it's a shame. So, Fulte owners, yeah, I know you're going to be disappointed, but hey, at least you're not Jason Heyward owners. Because but what if you're both? But he's the biggest bust of this season. I'm sure if I really broke it down, there'd be a bigger bust, like Stanton. But
different reasons, though.
Right. I mean, I was looking at where Heyward went in our 12-team podcast points league, 3 outfielders. He went in the 6th round. In our 12-team roto league, 5 outfielders. Heyward went with the first pick of the 7th round. And I don't get it. He's 0 for his last 20. He's batting .225. He's got 6 home runs and 8 steals. What an awful year. I'm sure that there's going to be many stories of he was feeling the weight of his new contract with the Cubs.
Yeah, blah.
Right? I don't get it with Jason Heyward. Like, I didn't draft him in any leagues. I didn't really like him that much. But yeah, this is confounding.
There's 3 players, and this is me talking off the cuff, so there may be more. I like how we're like qualifying every bold statement we're making. We're qualifying. There are 3 players that I'd just as soon never draft again. Brandon Belt, Eric Hosmer, and Jason Heyward, because I'm tired of being teased by them repeatedly. They're all 3 one big tease, except it hasn't been just once. It's been several times for each of them, and I'm just tired of it.
Al ran a Twitter poll the other day. Remember Al?
I do, yeah.
Who would you rather have next year, Eric Hosmer or Hanley Ramirez?
Oh, that's interesting, because I'm working on a piece, first base rankings for next year. Pretty soon, my first 2 rounds for next year should go up on the site. So now I'm going position by position. And I had that same dilemma. Hanley's had the better year. It's actually kind of gone under the radar how good of a year Hanley Ramirez is having. But
he's in the oldies but goodies segment today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think just for the sake of making sure I don't draft Hosmer, I'm going to rank Hanley Ramirez over him, and trust that the supporting cast will continue to prop him up as it has.
Just to go back to Jason Hayward, though, Scott, is there a lesson to be learned here? I think if there's anything, it's that you got to look at guys who don't... Well, I don't know. This is just a thing. You got to look at guys who don't do anything all that well, right? Like, Jason Hayward doesn't stand out in anything. 20, 23 steals, 14 home runs. He just played a lot. You know, he wasn't great at anything. And I don't know. It just... Those types of players don't excite me that much.
Yeah, I mean, with Hayward and really with Hosmer and Bell both, part of the reason we keep getting faked out is because they came in with so much promise, and we think when they show the first glimmer of promise that there's much more behind that, and that hasn't proven to be true for any of them. And then in Hayward's case specifically, he was going to the Cubs, who I think most of us suspected would be the force that they are. And we thought that would help his chances, but if he's not hitting at all, obviously it won't. So he's kind of a sparkling, dressed up version of Adam Eaton at his best, and obviously at his worst, he's unusable.
Okay, so Monday standouts. Who stood out to you, Mr. Scott White? Yeah.
I you always catch me off guard.
It wasn't one of those days.
No, you know who stood out is Daniel Norris.
Yeah, I thought that's where you were going to go with it.
Yeah, with 11 strikeouts and 6 1/3 innings. And it's not, I mean, he's making 2 starts this week, so I don't think he'll have another 2-star week. I don't know that there will ever be a time this year where we'd think about starting him, at least in a mixed league. But just in terms of scouting him for this year, he's been surprisingly consistent in no more than 3 earned runs in any of his 10 starts. Now, the whip's higher than you'd like, and the strikeouts have been kind of discouraging up until this start. But in 2014, he was the minor league leader in strikeouts per 9 innings. So it's had some injury problems since then that have probably set back his development. But I do think there's still upside here, and this start is a reminder of it.
Who do you think has a brighter future, Daniel Norris or Matt Boyd?
I think Daniel Norris's upside is considerably higher. I think Boyd could emerge as, you know, pretty good for fantasy purposes, like a maybe fifth starter type. That's probably the extent of his upside because he's so home run prone and not a big bat misser, an okay bat misser. So I'm trying to think of a good comp. The only one that's coming to mind is Jeremy Hellickson, probably because he just pitched, and that probably doesn't sound as appealing as I want it to. Maybe Jake Odorizzi.
Okay.
He's a left-handed Jake Odorizzi. Actually, yeah, that's exactly. I was thinking about this weekend, and that was my takeaway for Boyd. Left-handed Jake Odorizzi.
Odorizzi, man, that was an interesting start from him. I wasn't expecting a good one at Toronto, and now he's at Baltimore this weekend. One thing I'm going to look up, though, I think Toronto's really been swinging the bat all that well. But if you started Odorizzi in a daily league yesterday, congratulations. Would you start him this weekend at Baltimore?
You know,
Baltimore just lit him up in Tampa Bay 2 starts ago.
Right. Now, I was actually okay using him for the 2 starts this week, but when you break it down on a start-by-start basis, probably not.
Okay.
I'd be more likely in a points format than categories. But yeah, that game could get away from him quickly, especially at Baltimore.
Yeah, the Blue Jays really aren't hitting that well. They did score 8 runs on Sunday in a loss, but before that, 2 runs, 3 runs. Oh no, 3 runs, 3 runs, 0 runs, 6 runs, 3 runs, 5 runs, 5 runs, 3 runs. So they're not really. Look, Donaldson. Donaldson actually got a day off yesterday. But he's been cold. He's like 0-for-20 or something like that. So they're not quite the Blue Jays at the moment. And Willy Peralta, quality start, not the best start, but 6 innings, 3 runs, 5 strikeouts at Cincinnati, 11 swinging strikes. So another double digit. It's always around 10 or 11 with him. Did he do enough to get you to start him at the Cubs this weekend, Willy Peralta?
No, he didn't.
Okay. Who has more upside, Willy Peralta or Matt Boyd?
Oh man, if we're talking strictly upside, I'll go Peralta, but I like Boyd's chances of being relevant more.
Is Willy Peralta going to be in your 2017 sleepers column? or breakouts column?
I mean, there's a chance. I would guess no. I would guess I wouldn't need to aim that low. But we'll see. We'll see when February rolls around.
Well, if he pitches really well at the Cubs, it might change our opinion a little bit. It might. Any other standouts, Mr. White?
Well, the whole Red Sox lineup is standing out.
Yeah, Pedroia's in the oldie but goodie segment, too.
Okay. Do you want to just get to that, then? I don't want to spoil your segment.
Let's get to a couple things. First, the bullpen. Sam Dyson blew a save. 7 straight scoreless appearances before that. You would think he's fine, Dyson?
Yeah.
Okay. Raisel Iglesias got a save, a 2-inning save against Milwaukee. That's his third save of the season. Tony Cingrani got the save 2 days earlier, but has been struggling lately. Well, each of his last 2 appearances. Do you think Raisel Iglesias is the Reds' closer?
No, I don't think so. Mostly because we've asked this question twice before and the answer's been no.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're ready to use him as frequently as they need to for him to be the guy.
And how about Daniel Hudson? He has gotten the last 2 saves for Arizona. Got one yesterday, his 3rd of the season against Colorado. Do you think Daniel Hudson, 7% owned, is the Arizona closer?
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear, but I don't know that makes him particularly appealing. I think I'd rather have Andrew Bailey, if you can believe it, who's now closing games for the Angels.
So let's go through some of the notes from yesterday. Justin Upton left with a calf strain. Tyler Collins replaced him. Upton's day-to-day, but we know calf injuries can linger. Yasiel Puig hit a pinch-hit home run off a lefty, but once again did not start against a righty. Brian Dozier, 4th second baseman in baseball history to hit 40 home runs in a season. Woo!
Closing in on the record, 4 away from a new record.
Whose record was it?
Davey Johnson.
Okay. Dallas Keuchel not ready to resume throwing. No timetable for Lance McCullers. Danny Salazar out 3 to 4 weeks, so you can drop him. And Jacob DeGrom could come back and work in the bullpen, but that's not going to be a permanent thing for DeGrom. Just get, you know, they can't throw him on a rehab assignment. So, you know, put him in the bullpen, let him work into enough innings to where he can start. But just what I just read, Keuchel, McCullers, Salazar, DeGrom, pitching is very, pitchers get injured.
They're dropping like flies, Adam.
Well, you know, it just, it's still a risky position, you know?
Yeah, sure. It is. I think this has actually been a pretty healthy year, though. Who's gone down for the year needed Tommy John surgery? Garrett Richards, theoretically.
Well, Harvey needs...
he hasn't had it yet.
Harvey needs worse surgery than that.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like
we've gotten used to the Tommy John tally being higher.
Yeah, I could see that. Clayton Kershaw's out.
That's true.
But
he's not out now. He's back.
He's back now.
Yeah.
Cole's been injured. But you're right, in terms of like season enders.
Yeah,
Carrasco was out for
just
a while, but yeah, I can't think, there aren't that many. You're right, Richards and the other guy, Heaney, but whatever.
Yeah, I actually don't feel like what we're seeing right now is so unusual for September. I mean, there's so much mileage on everybody, pitchers and hitters, by this point, and there's, you know, any kind of injury that would normally be DL worthy, not necessarily in this case because the DL is pretty much dead, but they become season-ending injuries, so they're just not worth keeping on your roster anymore. And I don't know that that's necessarily true for Keuchel and DeGrom, particularly if your league includes week 26. But, you know, if just in the process of getting to week 26, you may need to burn them and drop them. You don't need to burn them.
No. Yeah. Matt Carpenter left yesterday's game with back tightness. It is unrelated to the oblique injury that put Carpenter on the DL. Aledmys Diaz once again did not start, although you would think if Carpenter misses time, this would help. But it was Colton Wong at second, it was Jerko at shortstop, Scott, and it was Carpenter at first, Peralta at third. So yeah, I don't know, Aledmys Diaz.
They got to get him back in, right?
You think so? They were half game out of the wild card, I think.
Yeah.
Second
they need that bat in the lineup.
I agree.
Come on.
Get that Peralta guy out of there. Dansby Swanson left yesterday's game with a groin contusion. Ouch.
Not a good contusion.
No. Carlos Correa started and stayed in the game. Hooray. Marcelo Zuna has a bruised knee. As I mentioned, Donaldson day off, 0 for 23. All right. Matt Latos pitched for the Nationals yesterday. He left with hamstring tightness. Ronaldo Lopez relieved him. Could Lopez get back in the rotate?
Would you care?
Not really.
Neither would I.
Okay. Joe Ross could be back soon, so that related. Philadelphia called up a speedster, Roman Quinn, Scott. Do we need to know about Roman Quinn?
I'm just now reacting to your rotate.
Oh, yeah. Subtle. Subtle.
Yeah. If you need steals, I think there's a possibility he could play regularly enough to impact those. He had 36, I believe, in about 300 minor league at-bats. And he's a pretty good on-base guy, too, so... He's in deeper roto leagues. It's possible Quinn could matter. It's Roman Quinn,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Roman Quinn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It's one of those things where you're like 80% sure, which isn't sure enough to say it.
Yeah, I typed it in my phone, so for all I know, it might be like Raymond Quinn, and this could be an autocorrect, but I think it's Roman.
It's named after the noodle.
Yeah, he's Ramen Quinn.
I think that's the second ramen noodle reference in as many days. On this podcast.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you've eaten ramen noodles?
Actually, with Blue Apron, I ate them, but not like the cheap ramen noodles.
Right,
right.
Like
legit ramen noodles. Yeah.
Well, I think it's the same noodle, just more, a little more goes into preparing it.
Well, not the ramen brand. Is that the brand?
I mean.
The one that costs like 80 cents?
I assume it's the same noodle, yeah.
No, but isn't that the name of the brand, ramen?
Yeah.
Right? All right. Well, this needs to be Googled. More notes. Josh Harrison out for the season. Miguel Sano left with lower back tightness, or as my phone, low back toughness. Mike Fultonevich autocorrected to Mike Fulty Roofs. So there's that.
Okay.
Giancarlo Stanton getting closer to returning to the lineup. Marvell Ozuna. Oh, I already have that one, but I actually spelled it right in the actual notes. Marvell Ozuna, knee contusion.
Are you reading off the same notes you gave me?
No, I gave you notes, but then I also forgot to put the ones that I put in my phone in.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm reading off my phone.
I see.
Like, okay. And I doubled up on some of them. Like, I already said the Dansby Swanson news, but in my phone, he's fans by Swanson, and he left with a groin contusion. Hey, Michael Wacha, is he getting back in the Cardinals rotation? He's coming off the DL hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah, probably not in the rotation. I would guess he doesn't, like, rest of season. It's not a chance to even build him up to get to that point.
Okay. Sungwon Oh hoping to be available today. Oh has a sore groin. Eduardo Nunez sat with back tightness. AJ Pollock is recovering well from a groin strain, may return this season. It doesn't really necessarily mean you have to roster him, but he's not for sure AJ Pollock out for the year. Everyone, I want to tell you why you should go to Harry's.com and buy yourself a new shaving experience. Harry's.com, HARRYS.com. We have an offer code FBT that will save you $5 on your first purchase. I use my Harry's razor now every time I shave. It's exactly what I need. It's a close, comfortable, smooth shave. No cuts, no going over the same area two or three times like I used to. Harry's is just a better shave. And the quality is guaranteed. You get a full refund if you're not happy. I really, really like my Harry's razor. You're going to get a refund. Why not try it out? The best part for me is the price. Check this out. The Truman set on Harry's.com. How much does a pack of razor blades cost you these days? It's absurd. For $15 with the Truman set, you get a razor handle, shave cream, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered blades shipped right to your door. All that for $15, and we can make it 10 with the offer code. So go to Harry's.com, use our promo code FBT at checkout. FBT as in fantasy baseball today. Not only are you saving money, you're getting a great shave and supporting our podcast at the same time. An amazing deal here. Please take advantage of it. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try. Again, the offer code is FBT. Oldies but goodies. Dustin Pedroia, Ian Kinsler. Two second basemen here. Pedroia, 33. Kinsler, 34 years old. Pedroia is 6th in points. Kinsler is 5th in points. Pedroia is 9th in Roto. Kinsler is 6th in Roto. And, you know, who do you want to start with here, Scott? Pedroia, Kinsler, who you got?
Well, Kinsler's the one who's, I think, been most impressive recently, right? I mean, you look at his...
No, he's been... Well, he's coming out of it, but he's in a pretty bad, I would say, month-long stretch.
Pedroia?
No, Kinsler.
Did I say Kinsler?
Yeah.
I meant Pedroia.
Okay, yeah, Pedroia. Go ahead.
Yeah, his last 31 games, 449, so there's nothing to complain about there.
No.
But what's interesting is only 10 of his 57 hits during that stretch are four extra bases. And I see you put here he has a career-high 356 BABIP, which, I mean, he's hitting 330, so I'm not really going to knock him for that. But I think it's a reminder that a lot of his value is coming from his supporting cast. I mean, he bats high in the best lineup in baseball. And even if he was hitting, you know, even when he was hitting 290-ish, he was still a must-start second baseman. But power isn't, like, there hasn't been this resurgence for Pedroia in terms of a power hitter. He's not stealing bases still. He's really dependent on his supporting cast, which is kind of the argument I've been making for Ian Kinsler the last couple years. And, you know, now his supporting cast maybe isn't as good. That's still pretty good. But, you know, the power that he showed at least in the first half of this year, I mean, he was carrying himself at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, about the time I finally gave in and moved him ahead of the Robinson Canoes of the world, that's when he cooled off. So I think neither of them is going to rank as high for me next year, especially second base being so deep, as high as they're not going to rank as high as they've performed this year. But
yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I think they're going to be, what, 35 and 34 next year, considering a year older.
They should be a year older next year, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough signs of real concern to like call them bust candidates next year either.
Right, you know, it's hard to say this because Pedroia's had a really good career, but does he sort of remind you of Jason Hayward in that he doesn't really do anything great? The batting average this year is great, but he doesn't steal a lot of bases, he doesn't hit a lot of home runs. He does make good contact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, like, exceptional contact rate. He struck out 67 times this year. So I think that gives him a much higher floor than Hayward in and of itself. But not, you know, looking back at Hayward's numbers, he's not a terrible strikeout guy himself. Actually, better than I realized.
Yeah, Hayward's year is hard to explain. It's just bizarre.
Yeah. But no, I'm not. I see where you're going, but I don't think, like I said, I just don't think the floor for Pedroia is particularly low, and we've seen a much lower floor for Hayward over the years.
Yeah, and finally he's healthy. You know, Pedroia played 135 games and 93 games in each of the previous two seasons, and I don't know if there's any scientific explanation. I don't even know if I'm right, but I feel like some of these guys who were injury prone, as they got older, figured out a way to stay healthy. Kinsler's a great example. Nelson Cruz is another guy. Maybe Pedroia can do it again. Time will tell.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's... Yeah, somebody much smarter than me is going to have to figure out if there's anything to that or if it's just complete coincidence that Kinsler and Cruz have managed to stay, you know, shed the injury label in their mid-30s.
Beltre, which... too.
Yeah. Beltre, to some extent, Beltran.
Yeah. How about that? These
not
older
to
guys.
Shara.
They know what they're
not
doing.
Not to Shara.
No, not to Shara. Albert Pujols and Hanley Ramirez are your two older first basemen. And Hanley's the youngest on this list here. Albert Pujols is 36. He's the oldest. Hanley's 32. And they're actually very close in the rankings. It's kind of weird to think that. I don't know if people would have guessed that. Because Hanley's had a kind of a streaky year. But Pujols is 12th in points. Hanley's 13th. Pujols is 13th in Roto, and Hanley is 10th. Who's more legit with their, you know, top 12 production this year?
And Pujols has just continued to do what he's been doing basically since he left the Cardinals. And you know, when you get beyond 35, especially, I mean, every year could be the year that a hitter just falls off a cliff. But until I see any real hints of it from Pujols, I'm just going to count on him doing the same thing he's done. I mean, this year I decided for Adrian Beltre, just kind of, you know, there were some signs there with the slugging percentage falling and a few other things, but I just kind of arbitrarily decided this was going to be the year I was going to avoid Beltre because, you know, he's just getting too old and I don't want to get burned by him.
Right.
And for the first couple months, it looked like that was not such a bad stance. But, I mean, he's obviously put any concerns about his age to rest. He's had a monster second half. There's an oldie but goodie for you, Beltre.
Yeah. You know what? It was so American League heavy that I didn't want to put another American Leaguer in there. I have zero NL guys. But yeah. Pujols, I didn't draft him this year. I took the Beltre position with, well, the stance on Pujols,
mm-hmm.
because he was 30, he's 36 and coming off a foot injury. And we saw when he had the abbreviated spring training or whatever it was a couple years ago, and he had a really bad start. And also in 2015, Pujols, he hit 40 home runs, but he did so much of his damage in 47 games. 47 games, Pujols batted .304 with 20 homers. The other 110 games, also 20 homers, but an OPS under 700. He doesn't do anything other than homer. So I don't want Albert Pujols, but I guess I'm just going to be wrong about him until he retires.
Well, he homers and he doesn't strike out.
That's true.
But it doesn't really affect his batting average, but at least in points leagues, it's a nice little boon, not striking out.
He can't run, so he's not going to get you any doubles. Pujols is batting .323 with runners in scoring position. Maybe a little reminiscent of what Kendrys Morales did last year, and the RBIs were so high for him, and Pujols has 110 runs batted in. Is that a red flag for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how the Angels lineup has been as good as it's been.
Contact.
But, I mean, Pujols keeps hitting home runs and keeps hitting behind Mike Trout. Should have a pretty good RBI total, so I'm not... I wouldn't project him to have quite as many next year, but I don't think it's going to be a dramatic drop-off, unless he gets hurt, of course, which at his age is always a possibility. By the way, he had a flare-up of the plantar fasciitis just a couple weeks ago, and it hasn't slowed him down at all. So, I don't even know if the foot... We really need to worry about the foot that much.
The DH is a powerful thing, Scott.
I mean, there may be something to that with Nelson Cruz also.
Yeah.
Been
absolutely.
More of a DH.
David Ortiz.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's always DH, so.
yeah. But who? I mean, if he played the field, maybe different. Now, Hanley Ramirez got moved to first base, and it really helped him. He's been able to stay healthy this year.
Which, is not, you know, I don't want to offend any first baseman out there, but it's not an as athletic of a position as shortstop or even left field. So there may be something to that, too.
Sure. Well, Hanley's, he got hurt last year running into an outfield wall. So, you know, that's not going to happen if he's playing first base.
Well, there you go. You go back to June 12th, so 72 games, so almost half a season. Hanley's batting .303 with a .974 OPS. And, you know, just his season-long numbers, they're the best they've been since his last year with the Marlins. So, well, no, actually, his last full year with the Marlins. He did have that ridiculous partial season with the Dodgers in 2013, but just talking about seasons where he was mostly healthy. It's been a long time since we've seen Hanley this productive, and I think he'll be drafted pretty high next year as a result, like maybe 10th, 11th round range.
Okay. Let's talk more about yesterday's action. Wasn't a good day for me because Gerrit Cole, bleh. So he's at Cincinnati this weekend. You can't start him, right? Terrible at Philadelphia. You cannot start Cole.
You can't. I don't know that the Pirates are going to be perfectly honest. It's been that bad, and there's some mechanical stuff he's working on. He said he worked on his delivery because it was all out of whack, and it's still out of whack. He decided after this start. So it's something that it'll probably take an offseason to correct, and hopefully that'll be enough to correct it. It's kind of funny. I mean, Ray Searage is so good. I don't think there's any doubting Ray Searage's ability to coach pitching at this point. I mean, Ivan Nova, the most recent example, it seems like he does that to somebody every year. But the Pirates' best two pitchers is coming into the year, Cole and Liriano, have just been, it's been a disaster. He needs to get on those two.
I know, he's neglected them.
Yeah.
I will gladly draft Gerrit Cole if he slips, you know, into the round 7 or 8 range. There's no reason why he can't bounce back next year. I really think the preseason or spring training injury affected him. And I hope he tanks at the end of this year so I can get better value on him next year.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, and I won't know this until I go through all the rankings, but I'm just wondering if there will be enough starting pitchers that I have to rank ahead of Cole that it'll push him beyond that round 7 and 8 range, because there is going to be more risk for him. I mean, I think, yeah, there's a very good chance he bounces back next year and is at least a borderline ace. But, you know, like for example, would you draft, this is kind of an extreme example, but would you draft Rich Hill ahead of Gerrit Cole? I'd lean no right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, probably
but
not.
I'd want to look at it more. I'd certainly draft Archer over him. I think Jay Happ and Rick Porcello are
maybe Porcello. No way would I draft Happ over him.
Okay, well, I think they're at least in the same the discussion to go in that range.
Yeah, so. If they are, and then they certainly might be. I mean, you're doing next year's ranking, so you know. Then that just makes me happier about Gerrit Cole.
Happier. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I'm happier about Happ.
Also yesterday, Kyle Hendricks was great. We speak about him basically every time he pitches, and I think you mentioned this one or two times ago, but these have been Kyle Hendricks' ERAs in 3 seasons. 2.46 with only 80 and a third innings, 3.95, and now 2.03. And these have been his FIPs in 3 seasons. 3.32, 3.36, 3.38. What does that mean? Does that mean FIP is worthless? Does that mean Hendricks has been really lucky or unlucky depending on the year? Like, what does that mean to you?
Well, I don't think it means FIP is worthless. I would guess based on the limited track record that Hendricks has been awfully lucky, and I would expect his ERA to rise a full run next year. But even if that happens, you're talking about a 3.03 ERA for a pitcher on what will probably start out as the best team in baseball again. They'll probably be projected to be that again.
You don't think they're going to win the World Series, do you?
Well, yeah, that'd be my pick for sure.
No,
they have...
No.
I mean, before you even talk about their hitters... Which,
it's the Red Sox, Scott. I mean, before you even talk about the Cubs, the Red Sox are clearly winning the World Series. I am so angry about it every day now.
No team touches, especially with all the injuries lately, no team's rotation touches the Cubs' depth. I mean,
you know,
they could go five. They have 5 playoff caliber starting pitchers, and I would assume Hamill's going to be the odd man out, but nobody's fourth is going to be, I guess Lackey would be the fourth. Nobody's fourth is going to be that.
All right. David Price is pitching like an ace now.
It's true.
And Arrieta is not. And Arrieta faltered at this time last year.
Okay, so Arrieta's their number 3.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he'd be their number 2. Like he'd line up as their number 2.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. I wouldn't be surprised if he took the ball in the opener, but just from assuming every series goes deep, you know, Kendrick and... No, not Kendrick. Hendricks.
Hendricks, yeah.
And Lester would both be making 2 starts themselves.
Well, let me just conclude this by saying, how amazing would this potential World Series be if this were 2000 with 3?
Yeah.
Right? Before the Red Sox started winning World Series.
That would be historic.
It would be great. It would be great for baseball. And it would still be pretty cool if those two teams met. You know, you'd have a great storyline there.
Yeah, it'd be the Theo Epstein series.
I think it really, well, yeah, you'd have that, but also yes. But I think what annoys me as a Red Sox hater, is that Salazar might not pitch again. And it's just like the Indians, Carrasco was so bad in his recent start, and he's kind of, he's annoys me. He should be better than he is. But, I don't think they can beat the Red Sox if they don't have three stud starting pitchers. I just think the Red Sox lineup is so much better. And every other team, I don't know. I'm rambling here. I don't know how to organize my thoughts at the moment, but I think the Red Sox are the clear favorite. And with Salazar, with that Salazar potentially out for the year, definitely for the regular season, I think it tips the scales even more in their favor.
Yeah, Adam, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't listening to a word you said because I am frantically Googling the pronunciation of Theo Epstein.
Why? You thought it was Epstein?
There was that seed of doubt.
What?
As many times as I've heard his name, as many times as I've said his name, I was second guessing myself in that moment.
Wow.
But I got it right.
Yeah, you sure did. So did everybody else who's ever watched baseball. So, the fringy starting pitchers, Daniel Norris at Cleveland this weekend, start or sit?
Daniel Norris against Cleveland, I would probably sit him.
Okay, I need the matchup here for Francisco Liriano, or do I need the matchup for Francisco Liriano? Would you even consider him after yesterday's start?
Probably not. I don't know. It's hard to predict what's going to happen with the Blue Jays rotation this many days out anyway.
Yeah, Liriano with a good start yesterday against the Rays. He is at the Angels over the weekend.
Well, that's a pretty good matchup.
He's just so bad most of the time. I mean,
yeah,
it's like five walks probably next start. Tyler Anderson had a bad start. His worst start of – he was a bust too, along with Folty. His worst start of the year, and gets St. Louis at home over the weekend. So are you going to avoid that? Oh, you know what, Scott? I think that's a Monday start. We have him scheduled to go Monday.
Yeah, I don't know that I trust the feed for our projected starters. Not that, it's just such a big guessing game at this point.
Well, they have a six-man rotation, right?
Who are we talking about again?
Rockies,
yeah, they do.
And they only played six games this week, so I think that's going to be a one-start Tyler Anderson. So he might have two starts next week.
Okay.
But that was disappointing. I think he's pretty solid, Are you deterred by this bad start at Arizona?
I mean, considering I bought into him as hard as I have all year after his last start, it's kind of a slap in the face. Tyler Anderson slapped me across the face, but I don't know. I guess my opinion doesn't really change. He's serviceable.
Now, you wanted to bring up a flub that you made regarding a popular television commercial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've felt really bad about this, especially since I've kind of, made myself out to be this authority on Nintendo music and Tecmo Bowl.
Right.
And so I tweeted after watching, the commercial, the Bo Jackson Kia commercial for however many times. I don't really watch commercials anymore except during football season. Is that the same for you?
Weird.
Just the experience of watching commercials again is weird.
I watch a lot of baseball. I watch a lot of sports, so I do watch probably more commercials than most people.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a great commercial, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I tweeted, I'm more than a little disappointed that the Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl commercial uses Tecmo Super Bowl music, because there wasn't a super displayed anywhere in the commercial. They were making it out to be a reference to Tecmo Bowl, and to the naked eye, it looked like the game was Tecmo Bowl. I was the crowd especially reminded me of Tecmo Bowl, not Tecmo Super Bowl. But I looked a little closer and determined that yes, the footage was actually from Tecmo Super Bowl. So using the Tecmo Super Bowl music was appropriate. And
yeah, dude, that was That was
because
a bad miss.
My initial tweet got 15 favorites. Like I was misleading people.
Yeah,
they were on board.
That's a bad miss. I mean, I think they start out with the 8 plays, right?
I think in the extended version they do, but you don't. I didn't see the extended version until I went online and watched it after when I was trying to check my work. Because you're right, it's 8 plays in Tecmo Super Bowl versus 4 in Tecmo Bowl. But the giveaway should have been the it's 5 minute quarters in Tecmo Super Bowl. It's only a minute and a half in Tecmo Bowl. So, that should have given it away, if nothing else.
Yeah, it was a big mistake on your part. But
I do think Bo Jackson is even more dominant in the original Tecmo Bowl than Super Bowl. For no other reason than because he's the only running back who can really beat having the defense call his play against him. That's usually like in the original Tecmo Bowl. It's part of the reason I like it because there's less luck involved. But you call the play your opponent calls, and the play is just dead. Like,
yeah, that's not.
Just
I don't like
tackled
that
immediately.
I would like that if there were more than 4 plays. It's just too easy to have that happen.
Yeah,
but you know what? The other commercial that we like a lot is the iced tea Geico commercial. That is so funny. I love that commercial.
You know, what I like most about it probably isn't what most people like. I like that, I like the facial expressions of the people that are asking, particularly
yes.
the second guy, the bald guy.
Oh, he's great.
The third lady.
Yeah.
Well, the third person, but she happens to be a woman. Yeah.
I'm totally in on that. That's like, those Geico commercials have such subtle greatness to them.
Yeah.
The Marco Polo one is funny.
The woman at the end, she just has like that grin on her face and she's only moving her eyes.
Yeah,
like,
I see.
She's like trying to whisper through her teeth. It's just hilarious.
all right. Any interest in picking Brad Miller back up? If he was dropped, he's homered in 2 straight games after batting 167 in the 21 games prior.
Who was it again? Sorry.
Brad Miller, Ice-T.
Chris Towers was in here asking me questions via typing on his phone. Brad Miller is, I don't think he's must start like he was looking like a month ago, but I don't think there's any shame in starting him either. I think that's probably going to be the stance going forward.
How about Brandon Drury? He's 15% owned. He went 4 for 5 with a home run and a double. Chris Owings got a rest yesterday and Brandon Drury led off and played second base, but he's been playing pretty regularly lately. Do you think Drury is interesting at all?
Not regularly enough, I would say, to really renew my interest in him. So, no.
Okay. Tonight's matchups. Oh, before that, Ariel Miranda, very good start against the Angels, and Kivas Sampson did well for the Reds against Milwaukee. Are they interesting at all?
No,
the answer's no.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Tonight's matchups. Let's do the starts and sits for every game. Julio Urías, CC Sabathia.
I would be fine starting either one of them, actually. I don't think either is must start. They're a little dangerous, Sabathia especially, but left-handers against the Dodgers typically aren't so bad.
They're the worst against lefties. The Yankees brought in a lefty reliever yesterday, and he just owned them for like 4 innings. They're so left-handed. Mets and Nationals, Syndergaard and A.J. Cole.
I'm fine with both of these also. A.J. Cole, again, he's a little scary. And I guess I didn't really need to say I was fine with Syndergaard. That goes without saying. But the Mets lineup is not going to be what I think reverses this trend he's on of, halfway decent starts. It's been, 4 in a row.
Pirates and Phillies, Ivan Nova, Alec Asher.
Nova is a must, particularly against the worst offense. Asher, great control. He's kind of like he was the minor league version of Nova with the great control, but I'm not ready to trust him in the majors yet.
Tampa Bay, Toronto, Drew Smyly and Marcus Stroman.
No to Smyly, yes to Stroman.
Kyle Gibson, Matt Boyd, Minnesota at Detroit.
Boyd's fine. Gibson, no.
Dylan Bundy at Boston against Drew Pomeranz, Baltimore and Boston.
No chance I'm starting Bundy. And it's not as so much about the matchup, really, just the kind of run he's been on. And then Pomeranz, this matchup doesn't scare me away from Pomeranz. He's fine.
Jake Esch goes for the Marlins, and Matt Whistler goes for the Braves tonight.
A couple of good names here, Esch and Whistler. I kind of like Whistler. I mean, it's always a little unnerving when the guy just missed a start because of an injury. But I liked the way he returned from the minors the couple starts before this injury, and I think the Marlins are an okay matchup right now.
All right, better team name for Jake Esch, Matt Whistler. Deep Esch mode or Whistler while you work?
I feel like deep Esch mode is derivative of Tepesh mode for Nick Tepesh or Tepesh.
Tepesh.
Man, I'm having a rough day with the pronunciation.
Epstein.
Now, to be fair, I said Epstein, but I was scared.
You did.
I said it with fear.
So you're going with Whistler while you work?
Yeah.
Okay. Milwaukee at Cincinnati. Matt Garza, Dan Straley. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I kind of not wanting to start either. Wait a second. It's not Desclafani? No, Desclafani's being skipped, right?
Huh. I don't know. But according to our website, he's not pitching tonight.
All right, I don't want to tell you what website I'm looking at. But it disagrees. Let me look at a third website.
Yeah.
Just to be extra sure.
Try good old MLB.com.
Yeah. It's Dan Straley.
Okay. Score one for CBS Sports.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not thrilled about starting either, but I think they're both usable. Like I'm not expecting a disaster for either.
All right, Scott, let's speed it up here. Oakland at Kansas City, Jarrell Cotton, Danny Duffy.
Duffy for sure. Got to start him. Cotton, I'm not expecting a disaster, so he's usable.
Cleveland and Chicago. Cleveland and the White Sox here. Trevor Bauer, Jose Quintana.
Comfortable starting both.
Chicago at St. Louis. Jason Hamill and Jaime Garcia.
Not comfortable starting either.
Jorge De La Rosa and Robbie Ray as the Rockies visit the Diamondbacks.
It's a roll of the dice on Ray for sure. I'd lean against it.
AJ Griffin, Brad Peacock.
No.
Neither. Okay. Seattle at the Angels, Taijuan Walker, Alex Meyer.
No.
San Diego at San Francisco, Clayton Richard, Albert Suarez.
Yeah, let's try Richard. Let's do it. Extreme ground ball rate. Let's try it.
Do you think Richard will be a better start than Robbie Ray against Colorado?
I do. That's my guess. Yeah, though obviously Ray has more upside.
All righty then. Some emails for you, Mr. White. Okay. This is from Jason. Second round. Oh, he says, hey, Troy McClure, Lionel Hutson, Lyle Landley. You know,
those are Simpsons broadcasters.
Well, they are, but only two of them are Phil Hartman. Oh, no, Lyle Landley was Phil Hartman. My bad.
Okay, and he wasn't a broadcaster. He was
he's
a
con
salesman.
Right? He's the
or a con
guy?
Artist. Yeah.
Yeah. Second round of the playoffs, head-to-head categories league. I need a temporary replacement for Matt Carpenter. My backup is Big Bad Kendrys Morales. Who would you pick up to fill first base or utility? Jung Ho Kang, Yan-Hervis Solarte, Logan Forsyth, Carlos Santana.
What?
Or CJ Crone?
Well, I thought Gong was the obvious answer, but then I saw Santana. Yeah. I guess categories league, the walks aren't doing you much good from Santana, but still, that's a lot of power. Might be, man, is this daily or weekly, or does he say?
Well,
if it's
I'm
going to
guess it's daily.
Man, I guess Gong over Santana because of the format, but I think in the long run, you're going to be happier with Santana than Morales.
Okay. This is from Adam in Chicago, 12-team head-to-head points league, straight ad drops, no waivers. I'm considering snatching up as many two-star pitchers as I can roster, more than I can start, just to prevent my opponent from adding them. Is that a jerk move or a good strategy in his final week of the season?
No, I think it's fine. It's perfectly reasonable thing to do.
I'll tell you, Scott.
You may guess wrong a lot.
I'll tell you what a jerk move is, though. is picking them all up and dropping them so they they go on waivers.
That is abuse of the waiver process, and a commissioner should not allow that. But picking them up, if you're sacrificing a roster spot to keep your opponent from getting them, I think that's fair game.
This email is from Brian. Dear Rick and Morty, you know, my friend told me Rick and Morty was the funniest show since South Park. I watched it. I thought it was awful. So what's up with
that? I haven't heard of it, so it's not getting the word out.
Yeah.
As well as South Park.
12-team head-to-head points league with 3 keeper spots. I need to decide between Pollock, Blackman, and Gregory Polanco as my third keeper. Pollock, Blackman, Gregory Polanco.
Blackman.
All right.
He's going to be an early second rounder. Spoiler alert.
Okay. This email is from Ryan. He says, Dear Adam and GHESW, which stands for Glass Half Empty Scott White.
Hmm. Okay. It's fine.
And 12-team roto 6x6 with on-base and quality starts. I already know my team name for next year, the Thug Mechanisms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Heath Cummings anagram. I don't know my keepers. Who do I keep for 2017? I can keep up to 4. Donaldson for $33. Trevor Story for $9. Gene Segura for $7. Billy Hamilton for $21. Ian Desmond for $17. Scherzer for $40. Sale for $39. Lester for $25. Keep 4.
Okay, Donaldson, I guess, 33. Desmond, we'll roll the dice on him again at 17.
I like Lester at 25.
Yeah, but it being a categories league, I don't think you need to spend that much on a pitcher. I think I'd go Story 9, Segura 7.
But he spent 40 on Scherzer and 39 on Sale, so I'm guessing that's the market.
Right, but they're still going to go for at least $5 more than Lester next year. I don't know. I'd rather go for the extreme bargain in this case of Story and Segura, even though I don't entirely trust either.
Last email from Dan in the west side of the cheese state, Wisconsin. Dear George and the man in the yellow hat.
Oh, I read a lot of those these days.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. George was a good little monkey and always very curious. That's the way every book opens. And you know, here's the thing. Like, it's just, everybody in these books, the author, the narrator of Curious George is such an enabler because George causes problems, and then he's able to like back his way out of problems, and so he's a hero. Like, you know, it reminds me of the movie Draft Day. How, oh wow, look at what this Browns GM did, Sonny, whatever his name was. Well, yeah, because he made it a mess for himself by spending the number one pick on that guy who he could have had, you know, 15 picks later or whatever. He was able to get out of it by trading for all those picks.
His name is Sonny Epstein, by the way.
No, it's not. Like it's like they just stole the basic plot skeleton from Curious George.
Oh, that's great. The narrator of Curious George is an enabler. That is a hot take you're only getting on Fantasy Baseball Today. First round of the playoffs, 14-team head-to-head categories. Last night I had Garrett Cole, Tyler Anderson, and Mike Foltynewicz, which contributed to 15 earned runs in 10 innings and 24 hits. Is there a good way to turn around pitching like this, or just use as many starters as I can to win strikeouts and wins and punt the ratio categories? Jeez. Tough break.
Yeah.
I would punt the ratios. With 3 bad starts like that, 1 bad start I wouldn't. 3 bad starts I would.
Yeah, I think that's... It's just hard to know what your opponent's pitchers are going to do, you know, because if they have a really rough stretch, then you could be right back in it. But yeah, I mean, I think to give yourself the best chance of wiggling out of it, because even if you're spamming starts like that, there's still a chance they could be pulling down your ERA and WHIP in the process in such a small sample size. So that's probably the thing to do.
He says, P.S., thanks for all the help. Wouldn't be in the playoffs last year and this year without you guys. And P.P.S., what's Nando up to? Do you guys ever see him anymore? Yes, I see him occasionally. He is working for the Fantasy Sports Network, and he's the same old Nando, always messing with me.
I haven't seen Nando since the day he walked out this building. I miss him. I text with him. I email him.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
sometimes.
Good.
Cool. Sometimes. It's often about Survivor. I'm not going to lie.
Nando watches
my Survivor, buddy.
That's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Back tomorrow with another. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. See ya. Don't let the bait that scare ya. Machado.